at 6:30. I got the minutes here. Has everybody gotten an opportunity to read over the minutes? Check them over. Does anybody have any problems or concerns or questions?
Motion to move.
Second.
Second.
Okay, motion.
Just so you know, though,
yes.
I went and I spoke to the executive's office last month about having people here because I won't be supporting any resolutions with that are big dollar figures.
And nobody here to come. I totally agree with that. With
I
you,
said,
Peter.
From now on,
okay.
It doesn't happen.
Okay. And what kind of response did you get from him?
They agree.
Yeah?
They wholeheartedly agree.
Right.
Because it's just
yeah, that's
sense.
True. I mean, if you got a question and they're not here to answer, then, you know, they can, maybe they'll be waiting another month.
Right. It's obviously not that important.
Right. Okay, motion was made by Legislator Roberts, seconded by Legislator Allen to accept the minutes as written. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Before we go
sure.
through, are we going right?
Right to resolutions, yes.
I just want a quick update. One of the, I believe it was the Capitol Project, the Kelder Building. I did visit the site. I the facilities manager took me through it.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually very impressive what they've done with the classroom portion. The older original Kelder building is yet to be done, and he went over most of the improvements, and I was pretty favorably impressed. I had some couple concerns. He's going to send me more information.
Now you're talking about the college thing, right? Okay.
At Ulster County Community College.
That they're going to try to hold some affairs that they used to do at the president's house.
Exactly.
They want to do it here now. Okay.
And renovate. And it's in my district, and, mm-hmm. you know, I went to the college. I spent many years at various meetings at that building. But, you know, my concern was just to be sure that we're maximizing energy efficiency.
You turned that on right then? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they seem to be, so
good.
I just want to report
very good.
Back on that.
Okay. Okay, so resolution number 133, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease with Lily Lake LLC for space to be used as a coordinated children's services mental health clinic, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. I have the attachment here. This is the county is going to do a 5-year lease or wants to do a 5-year lease with this Lily Lake. For 1,100 square feet of office space. It's to help the children serve mental health clinic had previously operated a satellite office in Newport to accommodate these residents to book, whereas the space is no longer available. This lease will be paid 62% by New York State and 38% by the County of Ulster. This is located where in Highland?
Route 299,
suite number 3, Highland, New York, to be used as a coordinated children's services mental health clinic in the form as filed with the clerk of the county legislature or as modified and approved by the county attorney. I guess there's an escape clause within the first 90 days if we're not happy with it. This has already passed the Public Health and Social Services Committee.
This lease, there's no more triple net leases, right?
I don't understand.
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Where we pay for everything in the building.
No,
insurance taxes.
Yeah.
In other words, we have one that still exists.
Oh, yeah.
That we pay for everything.
Oh, I know.
That's the Abel Garrigan thing? Is that the one you're referring to? Yeah. That's still, I know.
It's gotten better. It's supposed to get, I think it's up 20.
Mm-hmm.
And my gun
sites. Yeah, I don't mind being reasonable, but
yeah.
It's not reasonable.
No, it's not. Nope. When's that end, Dave?
I think it's 2015, so I can't remember.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's 2015. Maybe 2016, but I don't know. I would swear to that,
yep.
Chairman, but there are a lot of eyes on that.
Yeah.
Me. You're not happy with that.
I mean, I was in there before Sagan.
Oh, there's many issues. We have so many responsibilities.
Peter, if you want, I can give you my copy of the lease, because I read through it today at work.
Well, I'm good. I just want to make sure that we're not going any more triple net.
Yes.
Triple net lease.
All we pay in this is the rent. There's no maintenance responsibilities on the county side.
And if something goes wrong, be able to fix it.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any other questions? Or?
You know, move 133.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Motion moved by Legislator Roberts, seconded by Legislative Allen to approve this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 134, establishing capital project number 404, purchase of Central Auto Vehicles, Department of Public Works, Central Auto. This is a resolution to buy some cars or Jeeps for a certain amount of the, let's see what we got here, for $305,000. They're buying for the Department of Social Service, Health Department, and Buildings and Grounds, and the Safety Department. As you can see, they're replacing items that are quite old, lots of miles, and they've had extensive work done to them over the years. This is in the current capital projects, so that would be for the one from 2014 to 2019. Okay. All right. These are all state bid vehicles.
Yep.
Okay.
These are state bid, that's brand new.
Yep.
So as you can see, Department of Social Services is getting a Dodge Caravan. The list is there.
Seven Ford Fusions, huh?
The DSS vehicles are somewhat interesting in that they get reimbursed by New York State. So we have to pay up front for them, but we basically lease them back.
Okay.
So at the end of the... Like those nine vehicles that come out of DSS are going to be distributed to other county departments. So it's a benefit for us. It's something we win two ways.
Wait, the ones that are being replaced.
Right.
They're not going to go out to auction. They're going to go to...
Correct. They're going to go into the county fleet to other departments. So the state's going to end up buying those cars for us.
Oh, okay.
And so they have a 5-year lifespan. At the end of 5 years, we keep for another 2 or 3 years and somewhere else, and someone else is driving them. But hopefully not my department. But the state has paid for them outright. So.
Like paid us for them?
Yeah, paid us back for them. Yeah.
So even though they're old, though, we're still going to have the
we're still going to have them. The
maintenance on them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They might go into the, you know, your car's broken down, you have to go and get a car to...
And this is common practice for the county. They've been doing this for quite a while. I know since I've been here, you know. I guess my question would be, though, as much as, and I don't mean to sound like a wise guy, but it's just a question. If it could still stay in the fleet for 2 or 3 more years in another area, why does it have to move out then?
Right. It's because it's got so many miles on it, and it's not the kind of thing you want people driving to Shandaken in, or drive all the way to, you know, such Schwangam in. You know, it's got a lot of miles on it, so it's got to, you're going to spend up spending more, if you're going to keep putting those miles on it, you're going to be spending more mileage, more maintenance time on it.
Right.
And more maintenance costs, it's not worth it. But if you have it as a, you know, where it's getting it's a little bit of use.
So our financial benefit comes from the fact that the state is buying them from us.
Correct.
And keeping them in our thing.
Yeah,
okay.
It ends up paying us back for the cars.
All right. I know this has been common. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the cars aren't costing us anything then?
Right. It is the cars.
That's the category there.
Yeah.
The cost is free. I'm good with it.
Manager Joe, it looks like you have a couple of questions. Go ahead.
Ma'am, you know, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I'm going through car shopping for myself right now, and I ended up getting, or we'll get tomorrow, a a Toyota Prius plug-in. And I just am hoping that at some point, and I'm going to put in a solar system to charge it, to start approaching zero net energy, and it will pay for itself in savings. So I just, you know,
we'd like to see the county start heading in that.
Yeah, and I did see.
Excuse me?
Not on the state bid.
Not on state bid?
No.
The hybrids, yeah.
Not yet.
Right, not yet.
Not that I've seen.
But you can.
For this.
Right? You can.
Right.
Buses.
The buses are.
Yes.
The buses, because we have a couple hybrid buses in UCAT.
Yeah.
That's great.
And those are state bid?
I don't know where they get the buses.
You don't know.
Yeah. But the bottom line is the state buses, though, they pick up 90% of the cost anyway. The federal government.
Does, okay.
Once you talk about the energy savings on the side of it.
But anyway, I just think, like, moving forward, we should really do a careful, cost-benefit analysis on transitioning.
That's why we buy off the state bid, because the cost is incredibly low.
Lower, right.
Versus going to a retail that's not on the state
bid. Yeah, I can see that. Because I'm having just done some car shopping, I knew nothing when I started,
and they're still making money at that price.
And I remember the county executive, I think, if I'm not mistaken, talked about some fleet transition coming up. Am I remembering that correctly? So, it's really just getting us to.
But I do agree with you. I do think it's time to start looking at least in that direction. At a small level.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are starting to head that way, you know.
Because what ends up happening is you do pay a little more up front.
Yeah.
But you make it back in gas. I'll be getting gas half as often.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, maybe encouraging the OGF to think about expanding.
They are doing that.
They are. Okay.
This year, there's been a big shift in OGS. They're not bidding out as much, and they're letting people go to the New Joint Power Alliance, which is, that's really, I can't talk too much about that. I don't know that much about it.
Right.
It's kind of a purchasing department issue. But it's a sort of a conglomerate of OGS bids from all over the country, sort of like the Sam's Club for municipalities.
Thank you.
Or a Walmart or Sam's Club, type of thing where you have vendors from all over the country competing with each other and supplying different municipalities all over the country. So you might see more variety pretty soon.
Right.
Okay.
So if there's no further discussion, I'll ask for a motion to move it. Motion made by Legislator Lauren.
I'll second it.
Second to my Legislator Allen.
I was waiting for her. She was talking
all
about
all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay. And our last resolution, 136, establishing capital project number 408, purchase of highway equipment, Department of Public Works, Highways, and Bridges. This comes out of our capital projects. For $1,321,200. I went today through the list very thoroughly. As you can see, the equipment and the trucks and the vehicles that are being replaced. I've been working for the Town of Sawgrass Highway for the past 35 years. I don't think there's anybody on this planet that keeps their equipment and trucks longer, as many miles, and try to get the most out of them as municipalities do. I mean, you've got some equipment here, vehicles here with over 300,000 miles, 17 plus years old, and it just comes to a point where they're not even safe to be on a road. And I got to tell you, I love the breakdown on this. I was showing some of the guys at work today, the years, the ages, the mileage, how much it costs. Maintenance went in from the day they were purchased to this meeting.
Right.
I mean, some of those amounts are phenomenal. You wonder why you didn't let it get that far. But
that's a good question.
You know what I'm saying?
We're actually trying to change that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But some of the stuff here, wow, really ancient. The only thing I found that was no big deal, I mean, out of over $1 million, was the two cheap compasses.
Oh, so the engineers, they're replacing their other old four Taurus wagons that are maintenance.
Yeah. But you're getting two vehicles for
$45,000. Yeah. Right. They need to have, you know, we'd probably get them pickups if we could, but they have survey equipment.
That has to be protected from the weather, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. For me personally, I don't know about anybody else, this is a no-brainer. All right. Moved by Peter Lawrence, seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Can I give you a little more background on some of one of the pieces?
Sure, absolutely.
The trailer hot box is a
hot patch. Yeah.
And the idea there is that coal patch is about $105, something like, hold me to that exact number.
Yeah.
A ton, whereas hot patch is $65.
Right.
And I don't know if you drive around this winter, it's particularly coal patches, that you drive over it and you hear your wheels kick up gravel.
Right.
And
it doesn't stay like the asphalt.
Right.
I totally agree.
The hot patch will go in and you might feel a bump, but you're going to be a lot happier.
You're going to be a lot happier, and it'll stay a lot longer.
Yes. Yes. You can use it during the winter, and it's not half the price, but it's significantly lower in price, and it does a much better job.
What's the difference?
Got the oil, hot oil in it. Hot oils and
just a better product because it's applied hot, and then it gets
right.
You know,
it's got tars.
Right, it's like regular blacktop in the summertime.
Right,
yeah, but I mean, why didn't
the city of Kingston has been doing this for years? They got that old green; they still use it. And I mean, they only got one, but you know.
Why hasn't everybody been doing it?
Coal patch used to be cheap.
Yeah.
Now there's two types of coal patch, and you know, it used to be a much cheaper item. And spend money on buying the hot boxes, throw it in the ground, stomp on it. And,
right.
You know, and in some settings, it's fine, but it's not very effective on the eastern side of the county. There's not a lot of traffic. And the next time it rains, it all comes flying out.
You've been on the. I've experienced where I drive over the center here, getting the body of my car.
Right.
Alrighty.
Can I just ask? I think this was explained once before, but I still don't understand it. What the serial bonds mean? I understand the increase, but there's a corresponding increase in serial bonds. I don't understand what that is. Anybody?
I could probably help a little bit. Sue would be a better source than I am. But serial bonds, the county will go out and. Sell a serial bond, pay an interest fee to an investor.
Yeah.
Someone will say, okay, here's $10,000, and we'll take that money and go spend it on them and pay them back $10,000, whatever, $4 or whatever it is. So that's how the county raises money. They basically issue a bond, so we're going to pay you back more than you get from us in the future.
And that's why our bond rating is so important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay. And that's all I needed to know. I didn't have a frame of reference for it.
The financial instrument.
Right. There are going to be a couple of contracts thrown on the abstract coming up this month for the general legislative meeting. But today the demolition bids for on the Hurley Bridge were opened. There were about five or six people that submitted bids. So they got to be selected, and we want to get that contract on the abstract for the meeting. So you'll see that coming probably a late edition, or it's going to be on the abstract.
And the PBI is going to be late, right?
PBI is, yes, for the contractor and for the construction inspector. Both of those have not yet been awarded.
Okay.
There's a committee that is for the construction inspector that has to be formed. It has been formed. It's four people from the Department of Public Works, the engineering department, plus the commissioner, and they have to rate the inspectors because you don't pick the lowest bid there. You pick the most capable.
Right.
organization. That's the way it's run. So, you know, they have to do that process and then select that person. That person's contract's got to get signed. It's already ready. Just got to put in a name and a number, dollar number, and that will be on the abstract. And then the construction contractor bids were open last week.
Right.
And there are issues with the lowest bidder that we have to resolve with the bidder because he's significantly lower than the engineer's estimate. So,
right.
So I was worried that he may be a very capable contractor, but we have capable contractors all over the county and in the region, and sometimes they submit bids that are faulty, and we want to make sure that's not the case here. You know, sometimes goes the other way. They submit it too high by mistake. Do we think this may be, it's so low on some aspects, some parts of the bid, that we want to talk to him and see how he came up with that number, make sure he's got the right idea. People make mistakes all the time, so we want to cut it off now.
A couple of questions I have. The biggest concern is that I've been being asked from my district, especially about the PVI bridge, because it affects them. The contract that we do, is there going to be like a penalty clause, say if they're late? I mean, a lot of people, like, even though this is way, way small scale versus to what the jail was,
mm-hmm.
They're fearful of that nightmare that we're going to give them a ballpark time of maybe early November that this bridge would be done. But if it ends up being the end of January and he signs a contract that it's supposed to be, is there going to be a penalty in there?
Well, you know, I don't know that there is, because it's run off DOT specs. I don't know that DOT, I'm not saying it can't be.
Right.
What I'm saying is that it's more complicated than simple, you got to be done in this amount of, you got to give us a timetable and follow the timetable and be done
right.
in this amount of time, because it's, like every construction contract is outdoors and weather dependent. You know, if you can't.
I understand. Right.
So, and there are certain, like every time you start a contract, the outdoor, as soon as you take a shovel on the ground, things that at the site may change that you did not know about. They could be
That's true.
Things under the ground. You take that deck off, and there's things that you couldn't see on the bridge beams that you now can see, that maybe, you know, there's a change in the condition of those beams that's going to require more repair work. That means the time's going to have to go out. So it's a very nice thing to be able to say we're going to be done by December 15th or October 15th, and if you're not done by that time, you're going to pay $5,000 a day or, you know, whatever. But there are a host of situations that can arise that are justifiable
to make it late,
or push the time out. We ran into that with the bridges on down in Highland. Hurricane Irene came right in the middle of it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's an exception.
That's an exception.
Well, there was a lot. I mean, the stream changed the way it flowed, so now we have more water running through the middle of it.
But that was brought on. That was an exception.
Yeah.
That's out of the ordinary. We don't have a hurricane.
Kerr Hansen, so they put the shovel on the ground, they found two gas tanks that were from used to be a gas station across the street.
I remember that.
As soon as the Central Hudson came and had to move the utility pole, they put the pole down on the ground right into a fuel tank that nobody knew was there. It had been there since like 1940 or 50. So, I mean, things, that's what's happened. Those are the kind of things that happen. Is that going to happen in this case? I don't.
Right, but there's a reasonable assumption that you can get it done within a certain period of time.
That's my point. Yes. Right.
Okay.
As opposed to
leaving it open
be?
So that they go down the road, they right. decide, well, I can go somewhere else and work on some other project because I don't have to get this done right now. That's where the problems come in.
Right.
Every contractor wants to get in and get out. It's not in their benefit to drag a process out. They have a lump sum they're getting paid. Their pay is based on per item, per completion of each item.
Yeah.
You know, you put in this much rebar, you get paid this much. You put in, you know, so many yards of concrete. It's not time materials. It's material and production of each item.
Right.
And there's about 50 items minimum on the bridge. You do this, you get this much money. You do,
so
and they bid, though.
If I'm I say, okay, I'm going to give you $1 million to do this bridge. I'm giving you $1 million, and I don't care how much it...
Not like that. I'm giving you $4,000 to put up the barricades. I'm giving you $5,000 to take...
It's like a construction loan when you build a house. Like when I built my house, I had a construction loan. I had to have 30% of the house done before the bank would release the money.
Ed Klein is looking at the bid to see if this guy is... The low bidder on PBI is within the realm of reality.
It's real low.
Right. So he has a spreadsheet of all the things that must, all the deliverables, each one, and you have to bid on those and come up, and you add those all up, and that's when you get your the bottom line, the total of your bid. So there's probably at least 50 items that have to be bid on. How much is it going to cost you to put, to take off the old deck is one item, and that's the one that we're worried about. And then how much is it going to cost you per yard to put the concrete back in? How much is it going to cost you to put the rebar in? How much is it going to cost you to put the next...
And this is a discussion you have to have with this particular contractor,
right?
Because the bid is so low.
Because it's
right.
Low. You know, it's lower than we expected, and it's lower than the engineer
right.
We consulted with who gave us a ballpark number.
What happens if you give him the bid and he can't do it?
Well, he's going to be doing it at a loss. And you don't want that. You want somebody who's motivated to get the job done.
Right.
Not somebody who's going, I'm going to get out of here as fast as I can because I got to get this
job done. I think what Pete's saying, what happens if he gets in the middle of it and realizes he can't do it because there's no profit,
right,
and walks
right.
off?
Well, he has a bond that he has to post. We're up equal to the total of his bid. So if the bid is $884,000, he's got to post an $884,000.
So there's safeguards.
Bond. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But then...
But you don't want him getting in and doing a sloppy job.
Have the bid. My right. point is,
and you don't want to end up in litigation.
You don't or if want he does it. Get it complete, it's only going to be, it's going to be done in a shabby way. And
right. Well, we have an inspector on the job. But what happened is the guy's going to rush the job. It's going to be a constant fight with the inspector. He's not going to get. They're not going to approve his work. It's going to stop work. It's going to slow things down. We don't want that. We got to have. Then we don't end up in court over it either, because it doesn't matter if you're right. You just don't want to end up there.
Yeah.
So our thought is to address this up front and make sure that he can just...
Yeah, I can agree with that. That is right. Kind of put his feet to his fire ahead of time.
Right.
Yeah, if he made a mistake,
no
he'll
penalty
say...
Clause.
Okay.
At this time, it sounds
there'll be
like
clarification of that by the 5th when
enough.
We vote on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Sure
answer.
Let me read it.
Well,
make
note
what he said. There'll be clarification on this. Before we vote on the 15th.
Oh, okay. Now I made a mistake.
I can make a little more money. That's what I was thinking.
Go, oh, I'm going to lose my shirt.
Yeah.
Better not to be involved. Lose your shirt.
How do you know if he says, "Oh, gee, I did make an honest error here"? That.
Well, that's why we have. That's why we have an engineer.
That one is supposed to be a 9. You know.
So Dave, off the record. Well, the tape is on. I mean, your gut feeling, when you think the PBI bridge, you think that actual construction will start, then you're looking more maybe towards May, you would guess?
I would say May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you guys tell me what, I don't know what the PBI bridge is.
It's the bridge in the town of Saugerties that goes over to Sopus Creek and takes you up into the Mount Marion area.
That's yours.
No, it's Dean's district.
Yeah.
Oh, that's yours?
Yeah.
Nope.
It goes across the rail tracks and takes you up through Glasgow Turnpike, and then you meet King's Highway up there. It's very heavily used, and right now it's already becoming a factor.
Okay, the PBI.
1962, that bridge was put in.
Okay.
And the reason why I know that, a local contractor, Bobby Shalanti, has a picture of the ribbon cutting ceremony of that day when they opened it, and he has it in a little glass thing in his office. And so I went down and checked it out. So since 1962.
I was told that Northeast Solite Corporation paid for that bridge to be built, and then they turned it over to the county.
It could be, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what Police Chief Sinagra told us that. I was at a village board meeting a few weeks ago, and we were having a discussion. He said, you know who paid for it?
I was only 4 years old. I don't know.
Well, that's what I was telling people. 50, yeah, you know, I'd say like 50 to 55 years old, so my estimate was like right on, right in the middle of that.
Anything else did you want to talk about, Dave, while you were here?
I just brought these
I'm going to talk about and give you a heads up or an idea of some of the things that go on in the mountainous areas. You know, there are a lot of roads in Ulster County built along the side of streams.
Right.
And along the side of mountains.
I spent a whole day with Mr. Parody that day up in...
Shandaygan
and Frost Valley and Big Indian, and it is like another world compared to, I mean, I like to tell some of the people in Sorority sometimes, you think you've got problems here when it rains or heavy rains or snows, you ought to go up there. They got bridges going to their houses, not just driveways that they need. It's I never seen anything like it.
And, you know, hillsides fail. And this is a constant.
Right.
There's several sites on this road that have the same thing going on, but the water changes directions, or it's going under the road. If you look at this, you can see this road is sloped back to the side.
Yeah.
But what's causing this is water actually going over it, because for some reason there's more water now coming down this mountain, and it's filling up the drainage on the mountainside and coming right over the side and washing this hill out, bank out. And that happens frequently, and this is an $18,000 minimum fix,
right?
Just for the gravel and the stone to
right.
put back in.
Why don't you put drainage in there on the other side?
There
of the
is
road.
Drainage
on the other side of the road. Have to go underneath.
There is drainage on the other side, other spots, but it all of a sudden it just started here. You know, it came. This here is a mountain that goes, you know, almost vertical, not quite vertical, up. And these places pop up where the water flow changes, and whether it's subterranean or washing down the hill, you know, you can't really tell. But over time, they give away, and that's what this is doing. And there are several spots that do that, and we have a few here on this half of the county too. And this is what it looks like now. It just the last big rainstorm is what it went boom, because you can't believe the volume of water up there.
Yeah, I've seen it firsthand, and you're right. It's
there are stories of, you know, rainstorms. Guys have told us that they are on the side of the creek up near like sundown, and the size of the rocks that come pouring down that hillside are the size of this table, and they're like staring at them and just, what am I doing here? and get out of there.
Right.
It's a different world. It's the quantities of water are amazing. Some of the mountains are built like big bowls, and it all flows down the bottom. And when that all gets, if the ground is frozen like it was then, that's when you have things like this happen. Water just comes pouring down, doesn't soak in. And a lot of stuff happens. Now, this is just
$18,000.
This is $18,000 just for material fix.
Can't be Washington Avenue.
Yeah. So,
anybody have any questions or concerns for Dave tonight?
I'd just like to see the pictures before you set the board.
Okay.
Our next meeting is going to be on May 8th, 6:30. I will not be here. I'm going to be on a cruise to Bermuda.
Nice.
So hopefully legislator Lauren can be here to run the meeting. If he could, I would appreciate it very much, as would the committee.
I have one other related thing, if I may. Just the High Falls Bridge, and I don't think that's a county, that's a state project.
What road is it?
213, right?
Right near, it's on 213, right near Lucas Avenue. And the residents and businesses around that area have been meeting there. They're really hoping, and again, I'm pretty sure this is state, not county, but that the timing can be coordinated so that when one lane is open, you know, they start in the fall, they go through December with one lane open, and then when they have to close both lanes, that it be after the holiday season, like January till the late spring. It's supposed to be a 6-month project. They are talking about trying to build penalties in, and needless to say, you know, the community's really upset. They're afraid it's going to, quote, kill High Falls Business District. And, you know, legislator Archer and I are going to the meetings and we're going to do what we can, but you know, it's not much different than this in the sense that it's a real problem, but it's an infrastructure problem. And you know, when we put infrastructure in place, we don't always think ahead about how long is it going to last and what's the alternative? Not address it? You know, it's got to be addressed.
No, it's got to be addressed.
So it's a really difficult, but it's not a county issue. It's just...
it's similar to the Hurley Avenue, or Hurley Road, Hurley Mountain Bridge. I don't know what the exact title of that. It's just the Hurley Bridge.
Wine Coop Road. Hurley Bridge, right.
Similar type of bridge.
Right.
Yeah. And apparently what they're replacing it with is a whole different kind of bridge. They're not going to keep that style of bridge because it does need more annual maintenance.
I'm surprised they don't use more plastic.
Wait, you know what? The bridges have to be able to take the tractor trailer over them,
right.
No matter what their span.
The question is, the traffic's getting rerouted in front of my house.
3 tons is what the salt truck comes to our facility, not a waste.
All right, if there's nothing else, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion made by Legislator Green to adjourn, seconded by Legislator Allen. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dean.
Okay, enjoy vacation.